Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello again, you vinyl-loving vagabonds.
We weren't expecting that one.
No, definitely not. I wasn't even expecting that one. That just came out in the cuff. But we're here again tonight, recording another episode of the Snowcast in Grady's Yard. We're on episode 16, I think, tonight. It's fucking flying by.
Whoever thought to get this far?
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, we're here at the Stout and Porter weekend. It's starting tonight, Thursday, the 6th of December. Grady's Yard have invited a few of their guest taps that they have here tonight. They have a load of guys on the taps there tonight. But they have a few of the brewers from the breweries around in Grady's Yard here tonight. And it's a kind of a meet and greet thing. But it's culminating for the whole weekend as a major, major festival. We've been going heavy on it tonight. We've tried many, many a stout. This is probably one of my favourite drinking sessions I've ever had. It's just fucking so tasty. Well, not my favourite, but really, really tasty, tasty night. Like
pure winter.
You can't deny it. I'm looking out the window here now, out onto John Street, and it's blustery. It's raining. Like, you know, there's a bit of street light coming in. It's warm, cozy in here. I'm absolutely loving the atmosphere in here. And I was calling you vinyl loving vagabonds because we have some killer vinyl on in the background here. They're going to have a vinyl night, full on vinyl night on
Saturday
here, Saturday the 8th of December. So when this goes live, it'll be over. But I hope they all enjoy. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
We'll be in on Saturday anyway.
We're
for a time.
We're going to have our 12. Just to remind you again, we're going to have our 12 snugs of Christmas here. In Waterford on Saturday the 8th. It's going to be killer.
Busy few days of drinking ahead of us.
Busy few days. We have tonight, which is obviously this Stout and Porter Festival meet and greet. Tomorrow night we have a special little Christmas party. I think we mightn't record there just for liability reasons. And then we have Saturday, which is our 12 Snugs of Christmas. So we're going to record in each of the pubs over the course of the night. It's going to be about 20 minutes, or, you know, 15 to 20 minutes in each of the pubs. And so we're going to release, I think, two episodes, or like two pubs at a time. So you're going to get six 40-minute episodes or so released over the 12 days of Christmas.
hopefully starting on a high and then like just tumbling into absolute mayhem by pub 12.
Yeah, so we have high hopes and low expectations for it.
And some really good guests lined up as well.
Yeah, yeah. So here, look, we'll just we'll kick off there tonight. DJ, what are you / what have you been drinking tonight?
Thanks for that, Owen. Obviously, the lads here at Grady's Yard are highly accommodating to us. They're really good to us. And they've given us a few tasters, a few things, and we've had a pint or two just to kind of wet our whistles before we get into this. So for the sake of the podcast and in I suppose the spirit of Stout and Porter Weekend, I have a tasting tray lined up here to talk about at various points during this podcast. But I suppose for our signature What Are You Drinking Tonight section here, I'm going to talk about the pint that I had before we came on air. And it was from the Whiplash Brewing Company, and it was a Slow Life, they call it. It's their Nitro Stout, 4.5%, highly sessionable. And when I say creamy, I genuinely don't think cream does this pint justice. It was so smooth, so creamy. Every mouthful was just an invitation for more. I'm actually salivating thinking about it now. Like, I'm thinking of jibbing this tasting board, going up getting another pint, but I won't do that. It was fucking delicious. Even when I was up there, I had actually a bit of a chat there with Nick from the Yellow Belly Beer at the bar when I was getting the round in for the podcast, and I heard him order a Whiplash Slow Life himself. So when one of the big wigs at Yellow Belly is a fan of the Whiplash Slow Life, you know it's a good pint. It was fucking delicious. And the settling time actually was very interesting. When Kevin was pouring it for me, he said, whatever you do, make sure you give that a good settle, don't waste it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
again, the value of a good barman. I should have probably apologised to Kevin for the state of the impression of him I did last week there. It was fucking septic. But absolutely phenomenal pint was that Whiplash Slow Life. Do you know what? I'm gonna say it. It's up there with Left Hand's Nitro, which of course is our logo. That's how much we love that. Like, you know, if Left Hand are listening to this and want to give us an all expenses paid trip to Colorado, we'll take it. But
no, we'll pay for the tour of the brewery.
We'll pay for the tour of the brewery if you can sort flights, accommodation, and our other habits while we're over there.
Yeah, it's Colorado legalized weed.
I think it has actually. Yeah. What are you talking about? What are you on about? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I'll fire that back at you. What are you drinking tonight?
At the moment there, I'm drinking Land Fallon, which is by O'Hara's Brewing Company. It's actually, I'm just going to have a little sipping here now just to
set the mood.
Set the mood. Wet me palate.
With your whistle.
Oh, it's smooth. Kind of like a coffee kind of oatmeal-y taste to it. Like, it's really, really nice. It goes down easy. I don't know, it's about 5% or so. Like, it's a peach.
6%, I think. It just makes a 6.
We're actually just having a chat about this, like, before we start recording. But we were saying, like, about a few stouts that we've had over the past while. Some of them have been, like, so there's one here tonight called It's Not Vodka, which is 9%, and it might as well be vodka. Like, oh, it's by Yellow Belly, and these craft breweries are very experimental, like, you know, so they're always throwing things out. They're always trying to experiment and just, you know, try
pushing the boundaries,
pushing, see if there's new flavors people like, whatever. This one, however, just wasn't for me. It's there is a delicious kind of stouty taste off it. But, like, there's just an overpowering, vodka.
Yeah.
Alcoholic taste off it, like, you know.
I found it was a bit too in your face in the first sup, and then the aftertaste is lovely and it's a good settler. But at 9%, I don't know what I'd be having it. Well, they're not going to serve pints for it. I don't know what I have a schooner. But it's funny, with Yellow Belly, to counteract that, like, the tin can of emotion at 10.1, you could have a schooner of that and it's lovely to drink.
You could have a pint or two, yeah.
And even the Martian Jam was 8.2, the red that they have at the moment, the collaboration is an 8er. Like, they've got some gems at the high percentage, but yeah, I think, like, there's going to be people out there that are going to, like, absolutely love It's Not Vodka, but it's definitely a bit in your face. Like, you need to be prepared for it.
Yeah, no, buried me now. But I also had one of the breakfast outs, which I think it's one on your tasting board there.
It's my last one, yeah. We'll have a good chat about that later.
And also, just before this as well, I had Maltshake by the Four Port Brewing Company, which are a London-based company. So lads, if you're listening, which I know you obviously are, just invite us over. Look, I have a friend over there. We can stay on the couch and stuff like that.
We'll save you money on accommodation.
Don't worry, yeah. And Ryanair, look, it'll be cheap enough for you book now, okay? Like we're free around.
You get the December sales.
Yeah, we're free in April there. So look, we'll have a bit of crack anyway with you. But anyway, messing aside, this kind of chocolatey and vanilla, and it actually tasted kind of like a Bailey's or like a shot of Bailey's kind of thrown into it, like an Irish car bomb, as the Yanks would say.
I just had an old sipping of it, a taste there at the bar, and the vanilla comes through at the end there really strong, doesn't it? Like it's very dessert like.
Yeah, it actually would be lovely with fucking on top ice cream or something. Like it is really, really, it's really nice. You wouldn't be drinking it for the night now, it would rot the teeth out of your head. But
well, as Michal, who hopefully will be joining us there in a bit, he's finishing up his work schedule there, hopefully we're going to get him to join us there in a bit. As he said to me there, when he was serving us out a pizza, which was fucking delicious, it's one of them things where if you got it in a reduction and turn it into a sauce, like drizzle that over some fucking cake or something, fuck me.
Oh yeah, no, it is absolutely smashing. But yeah, look, it's the quality we get in here. There's like we're talking about five or six different taps or beers here tonight. But the stouts on offer here tonight are aplenty. Well, how are you getting on? So yeah, Grady's Yard have a fucking rake of stout on tonight. It's absolutely magical in here. I'm absolutely loving it. Like it's been a brilliant night. And TJ, as you were saying, he's gotten a tasting board. I've had a few points, but we actually haven't even, I'd say, touched most of the stouts here tonight. We've covered a fraction. It's absolute amazing selection. But anyway, as TJ was saying earlier on, we're joined tonight by Michal. Michal, how are you getting on?
Very good, lads. Pleasure to be here. Thanks a million for having me.
It's amazing. The last time you were on, we just deleted your segment altogether. We got so leery.
That's actually not true. The last time I was on, I did a rendition of Backstreet Boys, which I'm expecting to be Christmas number one,
That was only just Monday gone, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
That came out Monday gone. And I referenced some listeners and said that was you singing there.
Louis Walsh still hasn't ringed much, or look. Probably
busy. He hasn't listened yet. He's behind. He's still only on episode 10.
But like all guests, we'll ask you, what are you drinking tonight, Michal?
I'm on the snooze button tonight, lads. The snooze button. It's a new one out, just pouring this week. Obviously in order to port or stout festival.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. Coming in at 5%. It's an oatmeal stout. And it's just, you drink it all night long.
And where's the name? Is the name coming from, like, you're rolling over after having
pretty
it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Hit the snooze button,
pretty
like.
Pretty much, there's no panic. Yeah, roll over and don't worry.
It's one of my taste board here, and I just had a sup of it, and fucking it's lovely.
Yeah,
it's
delicious.
It's lovely. It's just full of flavour. I was describing there earlier, Michal, before you came on about the Whiplash Low Life and how creamy it is and lovely. But it's a different type of stout this altogether. It's a different experience of stout drinking.
It is, and actually the lads have done a collaboration today, so.
Have they, yeah.
The Whiplash and Yellow Bellies would be very interesting to see what that's going to taste like.
What, coming out in oil, is it?
Yeah, well, it was brewed today. I'm not sure exactly the date of its release. There's probably a shot for leaving that out there.
This I know, they have it up. Snowcast exclusive.
Snowcast exclusive, that was up on Yellow Belly's Instagram earlier today.
I'm probably getting a P45, so any jobs going, let me know, lads.
You can be our acoustics manager, because keen aired listeners will notice that the background music is slightly less, because the snow actually freed up in the time that we paused and got Michal set up and ready to go there. So we're back in our favourite spot here in Grady's Yard, and Jesus, you'll do our acoustic manager. We can't pay you in money, but we can pay you in points.
Ah, Aye, pay me in loving hugs, lads. Loving hugs.
Love it, I love it.
Plenty of them to go around.
Right, so keeping with the old stout sensation, the stout feeling, we're going to keep it rolling tonight. And our topic of the night is going to be, what is your favourite or most memorable stout experience? What is your most memorable moment of having a pint of stout?
So you're just after landing me hall with that, so I'll take it up first.
Lash on with it.
So I remember, do you know when you're a chap, like, and you start off drinking, going out drinking for the first time, and you think you're the lad, Jack the lad going around, cock of the walk, and I've had a few, my first few experiences as stout were with seasoned stout drinkers, and I had no notion what I was doing. And I ended up in
it's
some...
It's a daunting place, like, isn't it? Like, you know?
I was in a few...
When you're starting off, like, you don't like the taste of alcohol, like, it's fucking... It's a weird spot when you're, like...
I ended up in a few Lou Bonds a few times now. As Richie Kaplan would say, I was bent into a bow. I fucking spent one day there. I'll never forget it. I went out with a few seasoned stout drinkers down in Cork, into Callan's pub, into the snug. Fucking fine snug down in Callan's. The sort of creamiest Beamish you can fucking imagine down there, and I had about 8 or 9 pints in about 3 or 4 hours, and I hit the ear.
What age were you, if you don't mind me asking?
18, 19 I'd say. I was only fresh, like a lamb to the slaughter. Well, I ended up, I thought I was fine. Do you know when you're in that zone where you think, I'm actually not too bad, I'm keeping up with these boys, and the moment the ear hits you, you're gone. By the time I'd walked across the bridge onto Patrick Street, I fucking hadn't a clue where I was. And I just remember the next day being in absolute bits. And Joe, when you go for an old beam of shit, like, and you're looking at the colour of it thinking, Jesus, that's not healthy. But it didn't turn me off long term now, I must say. I came back. That would be my warmest memory now. My warmest out memory.
Warmest on the toilet, I'd say, wasn't it?
The bog was fucking steaming that morning anyway, I can tell you that much. My warmest out memory is, I'd say, Joe, and it could well be... I had it in my head there, and then I went on a spiel about that. Actually, that same night I got barred from a chipper in Cork because I went in and decided I was going to eat me curry chips in the middle of the road, and I picked up the table and chairs and went out in the middle of the road and sat myself down at a curry chip.
What's the name of this establishment?
Oh, I don't know, some fucking dodgy place anyway.
You turned Cork into a plaza, were you?
I was, yeah. I think
you had visions back then.
I had been to Rome just before that, like Piazza de George's Key or something like that. Actually, do you know what? My favourite South memory was St. Stephen's morning, Boxing Day for our UK listeners, about 2 years ago. And I woke up. Now, my family's tradition is you get absolutely bollocks on Christmas Eve. Local hurling club members bar, so you're out till late, you get absolutely fucked, laid up Christmas morning to the fry, open the old few presents because obviously the children aren't around now, so you're not doing all that calm awesome. And set yourself up for Christmas dinner then, like, after Christmas dinner you're flying, you're having a few bajales at home, watch a few films, so you get up early Christmas morning, and we walk down to this pub that had been closed for years. My grandfather used to work in it actually 20 years ago. It's called Morris. If you didn't live in the area, you wouldn't know it. It's this tiny little establishment. I remember telling you about it at the time at work. And they have a full-size snooker table. Now, the whole pub, the area of the whole pub is about a third of the size of Grady's yard. And they have a full-size snooker table.
So, pretty much the size of
There's
that.
There's about 7 stools and 1 table to sit down in with chairs. But fuck me, they do a lovely Guinness. And I just remember Stephen's morning, it's a 10-minute walk from my folks' house, and it's right by my aunt's house where we have dinner on Stephen's Day. So my mother does dinner for the whole extended family Christmas Day, and then we all go to my aunt's and Stephen's Day. Stroll up into Mora's anyway with my uncle and my brother and then my aunt's husband. And my father was actually working, and we went in, sat 7 stools, 4 of us on stools, and then 3 lads came in, they sat in the other 3 stools, and we sat there for about 4 or 5 hours. Stephen's morning, log fire burning, sipping on the nicest Guinness you can think of, a few packets of salt and vinegar crisps. Jesus Christ, it was winter in the barrel, do you know that? I'd go back there every year. I might go back there this year.
Jesus, that is beautiful.
Oh, it was fucking gorgeous now, I must say.
That is beautiful.
Not a fucking, not a snooker ball pucked.
Right, so I'd say my favourite, well no, actually, so I think the thing with stouts and Guinness especially, because it's such an Irish stout and everyone knows Guinness, there's Guinness available in every single pub, right? So that's your go-to, like, you know. And I think the thing about about it is that you get so many good memories from fucking just having a pint of Guinness. Like,
it's the experience rather than the drink.
It's amazing. So I think maybe the one I'm about to talk about now is good because it's just so fresh in my mind. But it's from this summer. And myself and my girlfriend went off to Doolin in County Clare.
Stop that.
Right?
You're a big fan
six,
of Doolin.
6, 7, 8 times a year.
Yeah.
I'll move there eventually.
Absolutely yeah. Beautiful, right? And so we went off to Inishmore for the day, rented bikes, went cycling around, out to Doon Angus, everything, like, you know, absolutely pristine conditions, like, it was amazing, like. And like the views out there, the cycling, so yeah, hard day's work. So anyway, went back into Doolin anyway, into Waxy O'Connor's, or is it
O'Connor's,
yeah. So into O'Connor's pub there. And so O'Connor's is, I think it's been voted best pub in Ireland for like the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. And it was in the shortlist again this year, like, right? I went in there getting the food. I got a bowl of mussels, and when I say a bowl of mussels, I mean
a fucking bowl.
Like, it was the biggest bowl of mussels I've ever had, and it was absolutely gorgeous, right? So just as I'm tucking into the mussels, the fucking trad session starts in the corner, right?
Lovely.
So I'm tucking into that. Guinness in me paw.
Ah, oh, sure. Listen.
And like, I was like, this was just absolute bliss for me. Like, this is, you know, this is just what you want. And like, I think that's why, like, the Americans and stuff, like, it's that experience. It's not fucking Temple Bar. It's that fucking experience now where you're getting, like, actually, it's not like, it's not boys that are, like, these aren't lads that are, like, hired in or paid by O'Connor's to come in. These are lads that just come in.
The locals.
Off their back. The locals come in and just play their old trad, like, you know.
But you may as well be in 1940 or 1930.
I know, it's amazing. Like,
it's so refreshing.
Oh, yeah.
It is, yeah. And like, you know, you see, like, even say the Americans, whatever, like, you know, one of them goes, when we were there, you know, one of them goes, oh, fucking, you know, I don't know whatever name, Candice, we'll call her, right? But one of them goes, oh, yeah, Candice can sing, and she knows an Irish air or whatever, like, you know, grand, the boys are straining. Can he come up now and we'll sing a song immediately? Like,
the
you
dog
know,
that smoked me fags.
Exactly. So
that's a Michael Russell tune.
But like, it's real inclusion. Like, you know, everyone's in. Like, a lad came off the street. Like, well, not the street, but came up the road from the village. You know, with a fado, and he just sat and they had a seat for him. And he came in. He sat and he's played. Like, I think they were playing a song, and they didn't even finish the song and he's joined in. You know, he knew the air off the head and brilliant. Like, I was there, full of muscles, pint of Guinness, fucking absolutely brilliant. Like,
but you're describing a postcard moment there, you know.
I know. Yeah.
There's so many people from around the globe that would just love to be able to
to
witness and experience that.
And that's fucking a daily basis. They're like, you
3 hours out the road.
I know.
It's amazing, but you know.
The thing with that is, so many tourists will come and they'll go to Dublin and they'll go to Kilkenny and they'll go to Cork maybe and they'll experience the modernised city version of that.
Absolutely.
But the authentic Ireland is still there if you go find it. Go looking for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's because, like, in Dublin or Cork or Kilkenny or whatever, those big bars are marketing and they go, you know, genuine Irish night or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, come here and, you know, you'll get the crack and all this shit, like, you know, it's, I don't know. But I had a fantastic night that night. It was actually one of the World Cup matches as well. Fucking everything kicked off as well then, like, you know.
It's ghastly because you nearly be like that. You're nearly going back in time. I remember being down in Kells Bay there recently in Kerry, January this year. I'm going for an Alpine team, and our sing song started, and a woman took out her phone to start recording it. And an old lad comes over and says, "We don't do that here, look." And it was just like, and she kind of looked at him and he just said, "Enjoy the moment yourself." And it was actually so refreshing. It was but Joe, he wasn't a bollocks about it either. He just, in his own calm, polite way, said, "Look, you just don't do that here. Enjoy it yourself. This is for you. He's singing, not for the camera."
Brilliant. Oh, I love it.
So, Michal, all about yourself?
Mine's a bit of an odd one. Well, there's actually two. There's the first day I walked into the pub and asked for a Guinness, and I made that the blasphemous mistake of, what did I ask about it? A drop of black.
Oh.
A drop of black. The blasphemy. Walking in by Johnny Big Balls, 18 years of old. Gonna be like the lads here now. A drop of black.
He
gave me a Budweiser. That's a fact. He gave me a Budweiser.
And you're right too.
Wet behind the ears, thinking I knew it all.
That was the first lesson in bartending you ever got.
Absolutely, yeah. Second was fucking don't do it. I'll tell you, my biggest memory, right, is
serving bollocks is like us.
Ah, no, there's only one bollocks here.
It's an awful thing to say at home.
No, but it was Saipan. It wasn't Saipan. I keep saying Saipan. It was Japan and Korea World Cup. A friend of mine, Pork Staunton, was his brother Steve Staunton. So we were out one Saturday night, but I think it was 2 weeks after the 2002 World Cup, and he gets a phone call. It was the brother. Where are you? We're in the nightclub. And who turned up? McAteer, Bab, Gary Kelly, Steve Staunton, and Alan Kelly. And we were drinking stout all night long in the early house, boy. And it was just surreal, you know, sitting having a bottle of Guinness with Phil Babb talking about all things football.
Man, probably bollocks.
Oh, I melted his ear for the whole night, boy. Hey, Phil, why do you always play sideways? Hey, Phil, why do you not go forwards?
How you feel? Did you get castrated off the post at Anfield that day?
Gary Kelly went for a run outside the nightclub over the cars.
He doesn't drink, I don't think.
He was bananas.
Gary Kelly, oh no.
He might have fucking cut it off at that stage. And Ian Hart was there as well, actually.
They'd be uncle and nephew, wouldn't they?
They're from... how PC do we have to be here?
No, say what you want.
They're from Drogheda.
No, but I'm saying they're uncle and nephew.
They are, you're right. Yeah. And Steve Staunton is related in there somewhere. Pretty sure Steve Staunton is Gary Kelly's first cousin.
Could possibly be.
They're definitely related. 1,000,000% related. But anyway, getting off the subject here. So yeah, that was quite a surreal experience, you know.
That's the joys of the Stuntcast. We get off topic
there. All right, yeah. So McAteer's a prick. Gary Kelly likes to run over cars, but he is from Drogheda. So yeah, drinking large bottles with Phil Babb, torturing the poor man's soul.
What were they? Was a large bottle off the shelf now, job? Was that all of them, all the boys?
Well, no, I would only drink them off the shelf now during the winter.
Okay.
It's just the midst of the summer now. You can't be drinking the fucking...
You'd need a council.
Something like that. It'd be like drinking tar at that stage, you know. So that was a surreal moment in my life, yeah.
Fuck, that's the next one. So tonight, thanks, Taz, that was I really enjoyed that. That was a really good segment.
That was really random. Actually, I have a note to say on the dueling and the fiddle playing and all that kind of stuff. Now, my grandfather is a well-known accordion player. Plays the button accordion and tunes them. And no word of lie, like the good lads of the accordions, my grandfather now, and I have a cousin Sean who's only 10 or 11 who my grandfather's been teaching because he only lives around the corner, and they can play stuff off here. Sean now, my grandfather's taught him so well. Granddad could put on Radio na Gaeltacht to there, could have an old tune playing, and after 30 seconds, Sean never heard it before. Be able to pick up his accordion and go along with it. Amazing. It's an art form.
It is. It's amazing.
We need to do a snowcast out in dueling.
You do, but you know the sad thing about that is, in 20 years' time, when you'll be doing the snowcast,
to be near an accordion.
Be gone. You know?
Near
an
accordion.
That's the sad thing about
the. We need to keep it going.
It'll just be tunes.
Yeah.
A few tunes, though.
Playing the accordion on the computer. Jesus. God be with us.
So anyway, as I said, we're in Grady's yard anyway, and they tipped off tonight. They gave an old preview of the pizzas there tonight.
Michelin star, I'd say, with the chef.
Michelin chef Michal was behind the cooker.
Michelangelo, I think we're going to call him the next few days.
Michelangelo.
So the question I have for you boys tonight, right? So you're going to be releasing some sort of pizza menu, I'd say, right?
That's right, yeah.
Right. What kind of names would you have for a pizza?
Right.
If you were to...
Shall I get a list out or shall I just bang these off the top of me?
Go on.
Right, so for the calzone...
Yeah.
I'm going to call her the Fold Me Close.
Oh, Fold Me Close.
Oh, that's brilliant.
We have one there with a bit of blue cheese. I'm going to call that a bit of mature.
Bit of mature.
Can I
get
it.
A bit of mature there, please? Hang on, I'll get me notes out, lads.
Legalise
marinara.
Legalise. Oh. Is that the margarita?
That's, yeah. Pie Hard.
Pie Hard.
The Dobie Brothers.
The Doobie.
Anybody? Anybody?
Doughballs.
The Doobie. Yeah,
Pizza Doughballs.
Yeah, yeah. So the Doobie Brothers.
Doobie, yeah.
Slice, baby. For the mushroom pizza, we're going to call that the fun guy.
Oh,
yeah.
See what going with that? Yeah.
Sticking with the slice baby team, right? You should do a dessert pizza and call it vanilla slice.
I'll give you a slice of the profits. And then the best one is we need the dough.
Oh. So I was thinking of this, right? So I was thinking, what about Oscar Pizza Stories?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What would you put in that? Wood.
You got it with a bang anyway.
You'd have a feed, but you'd have to drink the highest percentage beer in here, cut the legs off you.
Jesus Christ, I have no comeback. I have no comeback.
You could have one with meatballs on it and just call it Hold Me Balls.
Me holds meatballs.
Grab me, haul me the balls.
Is that in or out of work, DJ? Because either way.
I could hook you up. Me haul's missus and daughter are listening.
I hope your daughter's not missing.
She's better not be listening to us.
She doesn't fucking listen to me, lads.
Actually, speaking of balls, right? Liam Tab, right? My father, right? Told me a joke there today.
Oh, Jesus.
Right, so. He was saying that this fella was part of a tribe and he was called Onesome, right? And he was called Onesome by the crew, right? By all the lads in the tribe. And it was because he had one bollock.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, so he fucking hated this term Onesome. Everyone used to call him Onesome. He said, the next person that calls me Onesome, I'll fucking kill you. I'll absolutely kill you, right? So. Anyway, they say it's nobody called him one song for ages. Fucking fearful of me. He's a big chap, right? So nobody called him one song. So anyway, this girl came up into the tribe one day and she kind of forgot about the whole thing. And she said, well, one song, how are you getting on, right? So her name was Bluebird. Right, so he grabbed Bluebird by the hair and he dragged her into the woods. So he had sex with her all night long, and all the next morning, and all the following night. And she died of exhaustion. Right, so anyway, nobody called him one song for a while again, right? So about a year later, another girl came into the tribe called Yellowbird. So she was walking along and she said, well, one son, how are you getting on? So he dragged her into the woods.
Same job,
right? He had sex with her.
Fucking one stone sounds like Larry Murphy. Come on.
Hey, that one stone is carrying a good bit of weight, isn't it? Pound for pound, the best fighter in the universe.
So anyway, he had sex with her all the first night, all the next day, all the second night, all the next day, right? All the third night. Still no cop off her. All the next day, right? She wouldn't die.
She wouldn't die, the selfish fucker.
Right, he couldn't kill her. And that's because you can't kill two birds with one stone. Lean Tab, that's Lean Tab.
Jesus, there's no mic there, is it? You should drop it.
Hey, don't drop the mic. We need it for recording purposes. Anyway, Owen, I have a tasting tray set up here.
Yeah, go on, sorry. I've actually forgotten all about it.
I just said I'd
chip in
there. Get us back on track. Fuck's sake.
What did you go for, DJ?
Well, you know, actually, this one that I finished off there while you were talking was the snooze button, because we've already talked about it, so I said get away. So the snooze button, the boys are calling it breakfast now. Where did they get that from? Like, that's hilarious.
Like there's oatmeal in it, oatmeal malts in it.
I like it, yeah.
They're trying to make it, it's like a coffee
Would you drink it before?
Lads, they brew that with the fucking the sole opinion that it should be drank before PM.
I think it's a wonderful. It's a brilliant concept for the winter to get you going with now.
Absolutely.
An old glass of stoutine.
Imagine rolling over and just having a ship of that. It'll set you up for the day.
You'd be laughing. I had that 5% or anyway, but the other one that I have at the moment now is the Whiplash Love Is Lost. A double browner.
Yeah.
7.1%.
Who's that with?
Whiplash. I did the lads that did the collab there today.
You did, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fucking, it's lovely. Lovely, 7.1%. I presume you're not selling these in pints.
We are not.
Yeah, I would presume
we
so.
Not. Schooner would be the max for that now because.
But it'd be a fucking lovely schooner now. Do you know if you finish the day's work and you want to just want to go home and cook the dinner before they cook the dinner?
It's actually really nice. It's slightly carbonated, so it's actually really nice. A nice sup.
Crispy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very crispy. It's a lovely, lovely old supine. So yeah, Whiplash, Love Is Lost, double round, 7.1%. Schooner, that'd be look fucking delicious.
No, it's loads. Tip you on the shoulder at some
stage. And our toasty Saturday lunch there would be, you're laughing, it's ideal for that. Yeah. Like. And our toasty Saturday lunch, throwing our nice jacket in, come into Grady's there, come to me hall, say, how are you going? I'll have an hour schooner that there lunchtime, you're laughing.
You'll be able to pair up pizzas with your schooners now, lads.
I'm trying to work something because Scudera is the Italian word for their league.
For the league?
Scudera, yeah.
Scudera.
Yeah, yeah.
Their league, like the Scudera. Is
Serie A.
Oh, Serie A, right. Scudera.
Oh, yeah, Scudera.
Because then the Scudetto is the champion. There's something brewing there, lads. We'll talk about that next week.
Come back to us, will you?
Give me a week to think about it. I've had too much stout, I can't think straight.
Right.
So what's your third one, sorry?
Third one there now. Hold on, I finished this boy off. 7.1%. Down the hatch. Mary's my aunt, and if she balls, she'd be my uncle. The last one then is the Dungarvan Coffee and Oatmealer.
Good choice, yeah.
4.7. Yeah. I'll have an old sniff here. Like, you'll know I love a sniff before it's up. Bit of berry. Yeah, that's very light, lovely. Coffee is very strong. But then you get a bit of sweetness there. There's a bit of berry in that, like.
I thought there was a bit of a slight touch of a raisin coming through when I had a sample of it. Now.
Raisin, yeah.
You get a little raisiny taste coming through.
Something sweet, anyway. Yeah, some sweet fruit notes on it, anyway. Coffee, yeah, fucking delicious. 4.7, that's very, that'd be very drinkable now if you were going on sesh, I'd say.
Yeah, like, you know, they make some great beers, but Dungarvan written kind of be for me in terms of the beers they release, but that's a knockout beer.
That's brilliant. That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that's
like, that's a session one now. If you wanted a stout session of a winter,
yeah,
that you won't go wrong with that. Won't go wrong at all.
And it's one of those kind of, like, it's slightly sweeter like that if you're not a fucking avid fucking Guinness fan or whatever, like, you know.
Absolutely. More kind of good gateways, introduction beers into the whole craft scene, you know.
I'm with the coffee-esque nature of it, like, it's actually be a really good one for after a meal as well if you're just having two or three. It's almost like a bridging. Do you know the way, like, when you go to these top class restaurants, do the degustations where you have the like 7 or 8 tiny courses starting off with like starters, mains, and desserts, and they have these bridging ones, like the third and the fifth one are bridgers between the mains and the desserts, whatever, and it's supposed to tie you into dessert. Like, that'd be a great one to tie you into a session after eating something. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, especially
gourmet pint in here with the Snowcast lads.
Got absolute notions here
tonight
now.
I've had far too much.
The lads DM the Instagram page will take notes, and it's €15 per head.
Fucking snug tours.
Absolutely.
I love it. Right, so I'm dying for a slash here, so we're gonna take an old pause here. So talk to you in a sec. Right, so I'm after having a piss there and I'm back in the room. So we're going to switch on to our next topic there, which is a surprise topic for both of the other two guests because I've just come up with this on the spot.
I'm not fucking knowing what you want to ask me.
So, TJ, I'll come to you first then, right? If you didn't have the mam or dad you had, who would be your mam and dad?
Are you asking me to choose?
Choose.
Are you saying, like, who do my parents represent, or who best resembles my parents? And like,
no, I'm saying,
and you want me to choose a man and dad, like.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, and they can be completely different to your man and dad. They can be a celebrity, they can be whoever, right? Just someone who you would like as a man and dad.
Trish, that's a good one. I can safely say I've never ever thought about this before. And you completely sprung on me, bollocks. Who would I want to be my man and dad? Well, I suppose my dad would be easy enough. Do you know what, I'm going to come really left field here and I say, Joe, who'd be a fantastic dad?
Who?
Frank McCourt. Do you know who Frank McCourt is?
I'm not familiar, I don't think, PJ.
The lad that wrote Angela's Ashes.
Jesus Christ.
But Angela's Ashes is only one book of a trilogy.
Yeah.
So Angela's Ashes basically is the first book of a trilogy. They never made films out of the other two. The other two books are fucking hilarious as well. Basically, he goes off to the States, right? And do you remember Malachi from Angela's Ashes?
Yes.
He ends up becoming this multi-millionaire bar owner in Manhattan. It's fiction, like, it's real life, like, it's his memoirs, basically. The memoirs of Angela's Ashes are the memoirs of Frank McCourt. But he goes off and he becomes like a teacher. He goes off, lives in squalor in New York for a couple of years, and then he becomes an English teacher. He goes back to study English in New York University or whatever, and he becomes his teacher, and he just basically spends the rest of his life being this teacher. But like, when he went to New York first, like, and some of the hooing and stuff he did, like, he's documented all that in books. And it's kind of like my dad wrote a porno, but he didn't write a porno, like, it's just a memoirs where he fully admits the writing that he did, like. But Frank McCourt would be a great dad, because he'd be so liberal, and he'd have come from Catholic, like, Ireland, downtrodden Ireland, to the States, like, and he'd have fully embraced that kind of, you know, free willy kind of whole attitude they have over there. He'd be a great dad, but he'd have come from nothing, so, like, he'd appreciate everything you get.
Yeah.
But he'd give you every fucking opportunity to just be what you want, who you want, and do what you want, and he'd be free thinking, like. So I think Frank McCourt would be a fucking great dad.
Right, go on. And your ma?
Me ma. Well, like, I'm going to go tactical with this about, like, being bullied in school and stuff. Like, I don't want a hot ma, because I don't want all the lads to be slagging me off. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know, I'm playing it cool here. I don't want that me ma to be right, like. But she has to be a good laugh, like, and a bit of personality. I'm just thinking there now, like, whoever I'm going to say now is instantly going to be offended, because they obviously listen. I'd say your one from Bridesmaids, the heavier one. What's her name? She'd be a great ma. Or Amy Schumer would be a great old ma as well, like.
Oh, yeah.
Or a comedian ma would be great.
Schumer, is that O'Driscoll's wife?
The blonde one. No, that's Amy Huberman.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Amy Schumerman. Yeah.
But you know who's... She's actually not a bad-looking woman, but she'd be a brilliant ma, and she'd tell all your stories to the world. Deirdre O'Kane.
Oh, stop, yeah.
She'd be a good ma as well.
I saw her at Electric Picnic there...
With 2016, I was there too.
Yeah, yeah.
She was very funny.
She was very, very funny.
Oh, he was definitely wolf whistling at her though, so maybe she shouldn't be my ma. But yeah, she'd be a good ma.
That's not a bad parent tag team at all.
Yeah, imagine. Oh, yeah, yeah. Frank McCourt, who's about 70 years older than Deirdre O'Kane. But yeah, they'd be my ma and dad, I suppose. I never thought about it. It's a good question though.
Yeah. Mihal, will it come to you or?
I mean, I'll throw it out there. As DJ just said, I've never thought about it, so I'm going to pull a fucking answer from my arse here.
Yeah.
I would probably go, in the short time I've had to think about it, it's a flick up between Frankie Boyle.
Oh, right,
he's gone nuclear. He's gone.
And Serge from Kasabian. Well, Frankie Boyle is a very educated man who doesn't really beat around the bush about his opinions, which I don't think is such a bad thing.
But you could go less extreme on the same line and say Darrow Breen.
I could, but I'm not.
You could. I could. O'Brien be a similar.
To be honest, I was never a fan of Echo Island, so I'd never
did
really.
Did that ruin it? Cause
it did a little bit, you know.
That
it
was
did a bit.
That was just that bit earlier than our generation.
Like, I think Dara should probably do the Late Show, you know. I think he has everything he needs, you know. He does.
He's
everything
brilliant.
That's required for the Late Late.
But he has that thing where he can go from like very funny to
absolutely
very serious. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and he's an educated man, you know.
Yeah. Very educated, yeah. His stand-up shows are amazing.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Dara. Dara Beans or Dara, right? Go down the Foster Road. So I'd be going probably Frankie Boyle, because I like the way he doesn't dress it up.
You wouldn't change much, then.
Thanks, I take that as a complete compliment.
Yeah, I mean it as a compliment.
Yeah.
And me ma is a fictional character.
I like it.
It's been that long since I've seen it. I actually can't remember the character's name, but it's Brenda Fricker in My Left Foot.
There's a woman that gets shit done.
Huh?
She doesn't beat her in the bush.
No, but she bathes her children, but she doesn't really have the bush.
Yeah, but sure.
Mrs. Brown, I suppose.
We'll go Mrs. Brown, yeah.
But not that Mrs. Brown.
Yeah, not that one.
Not Agnes.
This was the day before transgender was okay.
How are you, Brendan?
Hold on now. Is she Mrs. Brown or is she Agnes Brown? Did they take...
She made it back then, yeah.
No, but did they...
Are you saying it's a piss take of...
Well, no, but like, yeah, did they take Agnes Brown from My Left Foot?
No, is Agnes Brown not from that trilogy of books that they
Parrystown Trilogy, is it? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That's where Brown came from, is it?
They take it from one of fucking Roddy Doyle's or some book, isn't it?
My Left Foot, right, my favourite line from it is when they're trying to do their math sums. And a little fella turns around and says, "Dad, what's a quarter of a quarter?" And the old fella turns around and says, "Sure can't get a quarter of a quarter. A quarter is a fucking quarter." Fucking brilliant, like. Fucking maths in 80s Ireland, like.
Yeah. But just about the trilogy, there's a great... I saw a mug there last week. I can't seem to find it. I suppose a ride's out of the question. It's a great cook for Christmas.
Well, listen.
Just an Irish mug of tea there, isn't it?
Brilliant.
And you know what? We all ask that question every night, don't we?
Yeah.
I stopped asking every night. Wait, you get to my age, lads. Yeah, it's once a week, because the rejection just becomes too much.
Yeah. Wait till we get to your age. Owen, you've obviously had time to think about this because you thought it up. If I know you well, you thought the question, thought it was hilarious, and then didn't think about your answer one bit.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because I literally, when I said I need to go for a Jack's break, it was pretty much to try and think of an answer.
He's not pissed at all, lads.
No, I couldn't think of it.
He needs to go for a piss now because he lied about pissing.
Yeah. But my dad... I think I'd like Ian Dempsey to be my dad.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he'd
be gone every morning though.
Yeah, he'd be gone. Yeah, but sure, like you're fast asleep, like, you know. It doesn't matter that much, like, you know. But he'd be home every night, like, be home early enough during the day as well. Do you know what though, right?
The thing with Ian Dempsey is he'd be gone to work by the time you get up to go to school. And then he'd have to go to bed so early because he's working so early that like you'd only be home from school going off training, you'd never see him.
When you're young as well though, you're going to bed at 7:30, man. So he'd probably going to bed around the same time as you. Just after the Simpsons there. He'd be fine, like.
Watch the Simpsons, have a couple of fish fingers and a waffle and go to bed.
But yeah, no, I think he's got a good bit of crack, you know, he has that air about him, like, you know, he seems like quite a loving father. Like,
yeah,
you know?
I'd say he'd dote on you at the weekend.
Yeah, he'd be a nice old chap, like, you know. And then me ma, right, I think I'd like Angela Lansbury.
Right, wow, yeah.
Yeah, do you know?
Who the fuck is she?
From Murder, She Wrote.
Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, lads, I was never exposed to Murder, She Wrote.
You haven't lived until you watch Jessica Fletcher solve the conundrum.
Here, look up. Here, I know this. Look up.
And a sex symbol at that.
You definitely know her.
Oh, I think I saw a pornographic adaptation of it once called Murder, She Wrote.
But anyway...
You in your own spare time, DJ.
Angela Lansbury would be going off, right?
A blast from the past.
You wouldn't get much of a cop off her, like, you know. She'd be off, like, solving crimes, like, you know.
Would you need a cop, like? Would you need me Hall's mug, like, any chance of a ride tonight? I suppose a ride is out of a question, whatever it is.
But Well, like she wouldn't be bothering you for the ride either.
Well,
like,
I'm the same one.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry.
What do you mean?
I was thinking of the ride as opposed to your ma, sorry.
No, that's me, so, ma.
Because I picked Deirdre O'Kane as my man. She's a bit of a ride.
Well, Angela Lansbury, here.
She looks mally.
So you've never watched Murder, She Wrote?
No. No, I watched Murder, She Wrote.
Right. And you've watched...
Ah, jeez. Lads, I grew up in the 80s. We didn't have Sky TV and all that kind of stuff. What? Murder, She Wrote, Highway to Heaven, The Littlest Hobo. Go on forever here. DJ's looking at me like I need to get a life.
Well, have you ever seen the very, very last episode of Murder, She Wrote?
I can't say I'm familiar with that.
If she gets rode from a black man, I have.
So so anyway, for our listeners and for DJ's pleasure here, I'm going to say right that Murder, She Wrote is all about Angela Lansbury happening upon all of these murders, right? So like she rocks up to a village. She goes on holidays for the whole thing, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
She rocks up to a village and a murder happens in the village, and then she ends up solving the murder and she goes, yeah, Michal did the fucking murder here, like, you know, get him into a paddy wagon off for the night. It's pretty much like Scooby Doo, like, you know.
He took the words out of me, mate.
Exactly, right?
He took the words out of me, mate.
So anyway, right? Like, it just seems like very, very convenient that she rocks up to all these murders. But anyway, the very, very last episode of Murder, She Wrote ends up that it turns out that she's been doing all the murders all along.
Sounds like it, because she was
the murderer all along.
That sounds like a writer that got his P45 and he said, fuck this.
And I would have gotten away for it if it wasn't for Owen's pesky man.
But anyway, that's one to take home with you now.
Well, lads, write that down.
That's one for the.
Do you know what you have done though? You just spoiled the ending for me. You're never going to fucking watch it now.
I know.
Don't waste time watching it at all now, to be honest with you. We've made advancements in a lot of things.
Right, lads, a quickie for you. What are you watching at the moment?
I'm watching, speaking of murderers, I'm watching Making a Murderer Part 2. I don't know, have you watched the... Are you watching it?
I watched the first one. I've given the second maybe 3 or 4 episodes. It's not pulling me in like the first one.
Yeah, so I'm probably on the same line. It's not the same. Yeah. It's not the same hook as it. It's good though, like, so there's another lawyer in on top of Stephen Avery's case.
Yeah.
And she's called Kathleen Zellner. And she's fucking bonkers. So she, like, basically every episode is her pulling in a different bit of evidence. So she goes like, you know, there's blood here, and she gets in this blood expert from fucking Alaska or somewhere.
Dexter,
some murderer as well, like. It's a bit off the wall, like, you know. Like, you can't see him building a real case, like, to actually support it, like, you know.
It's all in the favour of Stephen Avery, so it leads you to believe, like, that, you know.
Yeah.
If they had it kind of did it from both sides to get a fair perspective of it, you might have went, right, maybe.
That's the thing, because, like, so many episodes as well, like, you listen to him, you're like, set Stephen free. You're like, he's the most innocent man I've ever met in my life. And then the next episode, they'd like just touch upon a little nugget of information, and they go, and then you're like, what was that? Hold on, his blood was found inside the, like, on the bullet that shot her or something. You're like, come off it now. This is fucking like, you're not even like alluding to this at all. It's fucking a joke.
Here's a question that a lot of people don't ask. Do you find it's a little bit insensitive from Netflix to her family and stuff, you know?
Oh yeah. So like, none of them have consented or will appear on the show at all.
Yeah.
As you probably wouldn't.
Right,
so,
yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Because it's totally told in his favour, like, so it is, but sure, they're making money, so.
True that, yeah, true.
I'm watching that. I'm probably watching, what else am I watching? I'm watching Disenchantment, which is,
that's the
Matt Groening, or, you know, your man who does The Simpsons.
Yes.
It's his follow-on show from after Futurama. Simpsons, after Futurama, now it is Disenchantment. He has 10 episodes, I think, of the first season out. It's all right. There's a few laughs along the way, like, but you're never going to get seasons 1 to 10 of the Simpsons. Like, seasons 1 to 10 of the Simpsons are just
gold dust.
Gold, like, they're like, you know what? You're talking probably 100-150 episodes or something in those first 10 seasons, and even they're fucking quality, like, you know, maybe 200 episodes. Yeah,
they're it's brilliant.
Yeah, they're so good. Like, there is a few laughs along the way, but it's that whole like CGI fucking, like, it's, you know,
they don't do cartoons like they used to.
Yeah, look, we don't be an old lad, but, like, yeah, it's
proper your dad, like, but they don't do cartoons like
they used to. You're right. Yeah. They absolutely don't.
Noel, what about you? What are you watching?
At the minute, I've just finished House of Cards.
Oh, it's the latest one. That's
fucking sucked me in. Do you know what Kevin Spacey is? Well, it is what it is, you know.
Well, the last one is atrocious. Just one, is it?
Ah, it's atrocious. Yeah. It's just not the same. They're probably just shutting the bottle.
I think I got halfway through series 5, maybe.
Really?
And just,
I found it really, really interesting, you know. Yeah.
I think I just stopped it at a point and just never went back to it. And then all the stuff about it came back, and I watched one or two and was like, oh, just couldn't be arsed with this. Yeah. I binned it for Designated Survivor at the time.
Oh, quality, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you watched this?
I haven't, no.
Designated Survivor. Now, talking about pulling you in.
Right.
It's not one of the best series of all time. It's a very, very good series, but I would definitely say it's probably one of the best first episodes I've ever watched of anything ever.
Actually, I'd have him as me, Dad. He'd be a fucking great dad.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kevin
Spacey. I wouldn't have Kevin Spacey as me, Dad.
No, I'd have Kiefer Sutherland's, like, his portrayal of that American president.
He'd be a great dad, yeah.
He's a fucking great dad, not like.
So you're saying the character, not Kiefer Sutherland?
Well, he was good in 24 as well. Either or. I'd say he's good.
He'd be good in a pressure situation.
Yeah, he would be.
He wouldn't panic, like.
Yeah, no.
I'm watching this thing at the moment. I watched the first series of it about 2 or 3 years ago on Netflix, and I thought, oh, they'll never do this again because it's very niche. And I loved it because I'm big into my Norse mythology and stuff. But it's called The Last Kingdom. And they brought out series 2, 3, and I think 4 now on Netflix, and myself and Eve are watching at the moment. It's basically like this. So it's following Danes raiding England at the first time they raided properly. And it's this chap who, he was a prince of this kingdom in England when it was broken up into these micro kingdoms. And his whole village basically got burned down and murdered. But he was only a child. So the Danes reared him as one of their own. So he's basically a Dane. But he's got this, he's basically the heir to this throne in England as well. And it just follows him when he's an adult, being a Dane, raiding England, joining with him to and fro. And he's like, constant turmoil of is he Dane or Saxon, and a lot of English lads been killing the two back in the day, so
that sounds
it's actually brilliant, and there's a bit of sneaky riding in it as well.
That's what you want, like, yeah.
No, it's not in your face like Power, where they're like banging against windows and you can see the steam from their arse, like. But
I remember when we were in college and Game of Thrones was like kicking off, I remember there was like this like boobs to episode ratio, like, you know, and you're like, right, what episode has the most amount of boobs in it? Like, it was
making a drinking game out of the tits.
Yeah. And actually the very early seasons of Game of Thrones was definitely all about that, like. But quality talk tonight. I actually had a really good time. Thanks.
It's gonna be good fun listening back to this one, Evan. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks to Michal, absolutely master bartender here in Grady's Yard. He's just got promotion to chief chef.
Head chef bartender.
Promotion, they call it.
By the way, Michal will be on with us next week as well, and I think we've Simon with us as well next week, so we're going to have a fucking blast next week as well, doing the 12 taps of Christmas.
12 taps, lads, that's what I'm looking forward to now. Completely off the clock.
Fucking stay safe, lads, launch it.
Peace
and
love.
So anyway, just lads, just fucking subscribe to our channel there. If you've listened to us on iTunes, give us an old rating, 5 stars or
nothing. Don't be bothering.
Bother your hold. And just message us on the socials with feedback if you have anything to suggest. Go for it. Go on, lads. Go on. We won't bite you.
Good luck. Good luck. God bless.
Stay away from yourselves.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.